Steve Dale's Other World on WGN, 10 minutes after 2 o'clock. I have in my hand a book called Prison Clown. Richard Keith is here, and he happened to end up at a place, Richard, you never thought. I don't believe you got up in the morning and thought, I'm going to be incarcerated today. What happened? Because you don't have a history, you don't have a background. Explain what your background is and what happened that you landed behind bars.
Well, Steve, very happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, you're right. But with the feds, you don't have to have a history. It could be your first time, and no history is needed. I was in real estate, and it was during 2008, which I would believe your audience probably right away is probably thinking, 2008, because the banking system collapsed. And the reason for it was there was subprime mortgages, which I believe President Clinton introduced, if I'm correct. You were able to use stated income, which meant you can just say you made $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year. It didn't matter. There was no money down. As everybody knows, when you buy a house, you have to have a down payment. And the funds weren't seasoned. So you can go borrow money from your mother and put it in your bank account for 10 minutes and then give it back. These were all legal things that you could do. The feds didn't really know much about subprime lending. And because they didn't know much, that really kind of hurt me.
What is subprime lending, briefly?
Well, it's just a way to get to buy a house or to get a loan when you don't have a great credit score, like 800 or 750
right,
or something
right.
like that. And it's much easier. And Clinton wanted the American dream, you know, to be acquired by the American people.
So what did they accuse you of?
Mortgage fraud.
Okay.
Mortgage fraud, because their mind was on before subprime lending. So when they looked at the paperwork, they went, wait a minute, this customer doesn't make this much money. And this buyer didn't put a down payment down. So they went all through this like you would in 1980 or something. And you would say, how do you get these loans through? Well, as everybody knows, the banks weren't really looked at and no banker went to jail.
But your advice was to plead guilty and not fight the feds?
Correct. And that's something that I would tell your viewers all to do.
I hope they're not all in that situation where they are facing the feds, where they need to plead anything, you know. But if so, you say it's a no-win situation.
2% win. 2% win.
Why?
They hold all the cards, and they have a lot more money than I had.
Yeah, but the judicial system is supposed to be fair, and all of that stuff we hear about, you're suggesting maybe not?
Yeah, I'm suggesting maybe not. It's very corrupt and broken, and we really need to do a lot to fix it.
So you were sentenced for how long?
40 months.
And 40 months, which is 2 years or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, 2.5 years.
Yeah, all right.
What I...
And so you're incarcerated. Was prison what you thought it would be?
Well, Steve, I never really thought how prison would be, but when you see it on TV, you're locked up in a cell.
Yeah.
And everybody has an orange jumpsuit on. No.
Oh, no. That's a good thing. Orange would not look good.
Right. No, it doesn't. And it wasn't like that. Now, it also wasn't a day camp, which when you talk about white-collar prison, I think the American people think, you know, basically you go swimming, you know, for the amount of time you're there.
No pool?
There's no pool. I looked all over the grounds, and I couldn't find
a pool.
There wasn't
so
a pool.
So you get up in the morning. What is life like?
Well, you get up, and you have a job, although I didn't need to have a job, because I'll tell you that in a second, a person named the Wizard. So I didn't have a job. But
who's the Wizard?
Well, the Wizard was something or someone that I was very lucky to find. He's someone who ran the prison. He was an inmate, and they called him the Wizard because anything could be possible. You didn't go to the warden. You didn't go to any of the guards. You didn't go anywhere but the Wizard. You'd go to his room and talk to him, and If he deemed you, you know, that he should help you, then he would help you. He could do things like transfer you out. He could do things like
transfer you out of jail.
I'm sorry, not to go home, but to go to another prison.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you get up in the morning, and oftentimes you do a job. What's the job? You didn't have one?
No, I didn't need one because basically he befriended me, and I befriended him. So he ran the camp. So he said, do what you want, which
wow.
was unbelievable for an inmate to run a federal camp. I've never heard of it before, but I'm not an expert on prisons.
Well,
but
now you know something about them. So you get up in the morning. I assume you also had breakfast. How was the food?
Yeah, you have the food is absolutely terrible.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it even says in the box, not fit for human consumption.
Explain that. What do you mean? What box?
They would have the food in cartons or whatever in the warehouse. And some of the inmates would go into the warehouse to get the food and bring it over to the kitchen. And that's what was told to me many times, that
the box is actually said not fit for...
It said it on there, not fit for human consumption, which, even though it tasted terrible, I was terrified to eat it. Again, because of the wizard, I was eating Hardee's hamburgers, I was eating McDonald's hamburgers.
Whoa, how did you get those? We're going to find out about what apparently was a hammer and a nail file or whatever else you had to get the Hardee's and the McDonald's or Burger King. And I want to know more about what life was like on an everyday basis and also what your biggest fear was, which you write a lot about in the book. The book is called Prison Clown. And we haven't even gotten to how it is that you were called a clown. You don't look like a clown. But you were kind of a funny guy, apparently, and we'll talk about that, too, when we come back on WGN. It's Steve Dale's Other World on WGN after 2:30. Alderman Scott Wagaspeck will be here. We'll talk about the crime in Chicago and even just traveling on the Blue Line or the Red Line. It's not the same today, I don't believe, anyway, as it was pre-pandemic. We'll talk to him about that, but right now we're talking about going to jail. Have you ever been? Well, he never thought he would be, but yet he was, Richard Keith, for a real estate, what did they call it exactly, Richard, real estate?
Mortgage fraud.
Yeah, mortgage, you know, and there you end up in prison for a while. What an experience. You decide to write about it. Why did you decide to write the book, and why is it called Prison Clown?
Well, I was so astonished at how the judicial system operates. It was nothing like I thought at all. And I was very anxious to just get it out to the public any way I could to let them know how close they are to being indicted, no matter what you're doing.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't depend what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
I've got to watch what I say on the radio, apparently.
Well, and also just the trial, which I didn't go to trial, but what happens in a trial, what happens before the trial, after the trial. I mean, I never really thought that you get to go out for coffee with the judge and say to him, look, Your Honor, this is what happened. I didn't think, you know, you'd be able to do that.
However, I
did not.
Right, okay.
However, I did think that you had a right to trial,
mm-hmm.
and I did think that you had a right to tell your story to the court. And these are, and many other things that the book talks about, are the things that the listeners should, that's why they should buy the book, and that's why I wrote the book.
So when I looked at Prison Clown, it's interesting because I get a completely different, I understand what you're saying, and that's certainly in the book. But what I get is that because of your personality, you fared better than you could have. And I don't know if clown is the right word, but you kind of were. You were the fun guy. You were the guy that people laughed with and had a good time with. And you did better in prison as a result of your own demeanor. Is that true?
That's 100% right. Thank God for my sense of humor because it got me through. You know, there are some people in there that could make your life miserable.
How so?
Well, not like the top prison, which, you know, you get stabbed in your bed. It's not like that. But you could be bullied, and you might have to eat the prison food. which thank
How God, was it that you didn't get have to eat the prison food on a regular basis?
Because of the wizard. He had a car. The prison gave him a car. He ran the camp. And so he would say to me, he took a liking to me because they called me Jerry Lewis, actually. And he took a liking to me and wanted me to room with him. So I was in the one of the very nice rooms, probably the nicest room in the prison. I mean,
what was that like?
It still was a room that had cement floors, but
with I bars.
Mean, no, there were no bars.
Really?
It was an unlocked door. But I mean, it was just him and me instead of me. And at one point, I roomed with seven Nazis.
Literally?
Yes. And being Jewish, that didn't sit well with me. And when you go to sleep at night, one eye is always open. But wow. It turned out that they were, I can't believe I'm saying this, but they were good guys.
They were nice Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah, they were nice Nazis, right? And they really didn't understand what a Nazi was in World War II. It kind of was like a name that they did for a gang when they were in the higher prison. They like trickled down from the high prison to the camp. So when they got down to the camp, they still had their tattoos, which were, you know, the Nazi swastika and the armband and everything like that. And I actually had a chance to sit and talk with each one of them. We actually all talked together at the same time, and I explained to them what a Nazi is, what the Nazis did.
And they had no idea?
They really, I couldn't believe that they were as ignorant as they were on it. Maybe they were embarrassed in front of me, but if you're a Nazi, I don't think you're going to be embarrassed in front of a Jewish person. I think you're going to be the way you are. So I think they didn't know. I really believe that they were ignorant.
So instead of sleeping with the three Nazi roommates, you eventually ended up with the wizard as your roommate, and you were telling me what the room is like. So there's no bars. It's an unlocked door.
Well, all the rooms are unlocked doors.
Okay.
And it was seven Nazis, not three.
Wow.
But this was an area in the camp where the elite would stay, like maybe the governor or senator or the billionaires. And I was able to, not being a billionaire and not being a senator, I was very fortunate to live there. The food, like I said, hamburgers, you could have sold a hamburger for $200 from McDonald's. Oh, my God. But I wanted to eat them instead of sell them.
Did you have to pay to get your food?
No. The wizard just took care of me.
The wizard
just because of my sense of humor, really. We hit it off, and he knows how the food is. So I wasn't really, I didn't have to eat the food there that much. I was able to eat. He would order a pizza. I mean, it was absolutely incredible.
I hope it was Chicago deep dish. Now, you said your biggest fear in the book was landing in the hole. What is the hole?
Well, the hole is somewhere that no inmate wanted to go. You could be put in the prison for picking up an Indian arrow on Indian sacred ground. You could be put in there for, you know, not even knowing what you did, which half the camp didn't know.
Really?
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you find yourself with your shirt tucked out or you're smoking a cigarette and you're going the hole. You can go the hole for one day, a week, a month, and there have been some cases when it's even been a year.
What is the hole like?
The hole, now you're talking about a locked door, and now you're talking about a top prison. Now you're talking about Murderer's Row. The hole had a small window, cement slab. You slept on a cement slab. There was no covers, no pillow, no blanket. The light was on every second. No newspaper, no magazines, no TV, no radio, nothing. You basically got out of there after a day talking to yourself, let alone a month or a week, a month or 6 months. A person who was a decent person who maybe shouldn't have been there or did something not that terrible that the feds said thought was bad, he could actually walk out talking to himself.
Hmm. But you were lucky enough to escape ever having to go into the hole. So we have 2 minutes left. Time goes by fast, right?
Wow.
I know. In that 2 minutes, if you could snap your fingers and reform the system, what would you do?
Well, First of all, I would certainly look at the first-time offenders a little bit more carefully and maybe be a little bit more lenient with them, because after all, they're first-time offenders. Second thing is, if somebody's 85 or 90 years old, I probably would think a few times before I gave them 10 years.
There were people that were 85 that got 10 years.
Yes, Steve.
And that means our tax dollars goes to pay for whatever that's... What was the medical care like for those folks?
Well, the doctor that treated me, it turned out he was a mass murderer.
Literally?
You can't, yeah. You and can't make this stuff up, Steve.
He was a doctor?
He was a doctor. He gave me a physical. And the next thing I knew, he was in all the newspapers. He was a, not mass murderer, but, well, anyway, he murdered a few families.
Well, that's...
I guess that's a mass murderer.
I think so, yeah.
Today, it's hard to say mass murderer because, you know, but yeah.
Wow.
He was, so needless to say, they got another doctor. Thank God.
Yes. Yes. You're okay now.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. He didn't do anything to me.
Okay. Okay. Richard Keith is his name. The name of the book is called Prison Clown. You can get it at Amazon or wherever your favorite place is to get books. Richard, I'm glad you're here outside. In our studio, thank you very much for telling your story. This can be a movie. I'm serious about that. This could be a movie with all these crazy characters because we didn't have time to touch on all of it.
Right.
And there are crazy characters in this book that, yeah, you couldn't make this stuff up. Thank you so much, Richard.
Thank you, Steve, for having me.